Ready for the word tonight? Turn in your Bibles. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. Verse 19, are you there? It says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Here it says in verse 19, God's bringing times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, right? Verse 21 says there's coming times of restitution of all things. Here we see God's R&R program. The world talks about rest and relaxation. God says, I've got one better than that. I've got refreshing and restitution. And I'll take refreshing over rest anytime. There's times I've been on vacation, we won't say when, that I come back from and need another vacation from. Because my wife may have shopped till I was ready to drop. Amen. That woman, when she gets in a mall, has got newfound energy that I don't see around the house usually. Amen. It's like, I'm alive. But there's times you can try to rest. There's times you can try to relax and end up with just a headache or wore out or, you know, near dull of thinking. Versus when God's refreshing comes, everything is rejuvenated. Everything is reawakened. Everything is alive. And everything is whole. Amen? And so God's bringing times of refreshing from His presence. A lot of people say, well, I just don't enjoy the praise and worship of the church service. My goodness, that's where the refreshing comes in. That's where you plug into the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden God just says, hey, enjoy some of me. Let me restore your spiritual energies. So God says there's a time of refreshing coming and times of restitution of all things. God intends to bring restitution to your lives. Now here's another thing. Anytime I've gone on vacation, it's cost me money. I've yet to take a vacation that didn't cost me something. If nothing else, it cost me gas to get there. Not to mention all the times you go out to eat and everything else, but God says, I'm bringing some times that you're going to be refreshed, and I'm going to pay for it. In fact, not only am I going to pay for it, I'm going to take the money from the wicked and bring it to you, and they're going to pay for it. That's even better, isn't it? So God's got an R&R program He's bringing in the last days, and Pastor Philip received a word from God this year about a restoration, and He gave him 8 steps towards this restoration that all start with an R. Now, we've already talked about the revelation of glory. That was number one. Number two was the restoration. Number three was the remnant. How many know we're a remnant church? Is this okay with you tonight? God's bringing together members of other denominations, other backgrounds, other cultural and social connections, and bring them together to produce a remnant covering church in the last days, like a remnant quilt. And we're part of that remnant church. But we're going to pick it up tonight with R number four, the fourth step in this total reversal or restoration that God's got. And so go to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23. Give me a minute to get there. Now in Numbers chapter 22, chapter 23, we have the story of Balaam. Remember Balaam? Balaam was a seer or a prophet in Old Testament times, and Balak was the king of Moab. And Balak was threatened by Israel coming towards his land, and so he sent for Balaam to come and curse Israel. Remember this story? And on the way, the donkey spoke to Balaam and says, no, you don't want to go do this. Right? But Balaam went anyway for one reason, because there was an offer of money for it. And so Balaam comes to curse Israel. And let's pick it up at chapter 23, verse 19, where Balaam says, God is not a man, he's prophesying, that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall not he do it? Or hath he spoken, and it shall not, and shall not make it good? In other words, God is not a person that lies. If God says it, it's going to be done. And in verse 20, he says, behold, I've received commandment to bless, and he is blessed. I cannot reverse it. God has spoken a blessing over Israel. When Balak sent for Balaam to curse Israel, when Balaam stood up to curse Israel, all he could do was bless them. As much as he wanted to curse them, he couldn't do it. All he could do was bless. And he says, God's not a man that can lie, and God's blessed them, and I can't reverse it. I want to tell you, there's a blessing on your life that there's nothing the enemy can do to reverse it. Nothing. The only thing that can reverse the blessing on your life is for you to let go of what produces the blessing in your life. For you to follow after the flesh, which connects you to the curse, versus follow after the Spirit, which connects you to the blessing. And we need to understand we are the blessed of God. So if the people of God, which is what the church is today, are the blessed of God, what would the people be that are not the people of God? If the people of God are blessed, what would the people that aren't of God be? They're accursed. There's a curse over their life because they're born of women, they're born into the world. And Scripture says that when you're born into the world, you're born into the curse. Amen? And curse happens. I think we could make a t-shirt with that on it. Curse happens. Except if you're blessed. Amen. We've been blessed with faithful Abraham, right? And so, you being the children of God, there's nothing the devil can do to steal your blessing. The problem is when we as the people of God look out into the world and we see who's got the money, we see who's carrying the power, we see who seems to have the most influence, many times it's not the people of God. Right? And something seems out of alignment. And God says in these end times, I'm going to put everything in proper alignment. And I'm going to take you, whom I've blessed, and put you in the position of those that are cursed. I'm going to take their power, I'm going to take their influence, I'm going to take their finances, and give it to the people of my kingdom. So our number four is a reversal. The reversal. The blessing on your life cannot be reversed unless you allow it. But the blessing that seems to be on the life of the wicked, they can't hold unless they become people of God. Amen. And a reversal is coming to their lives. Do you believe that you're God's favorite? I'm a child of God. Right? I'm born again by the blood of Christ. And many of you probably have children, if not most of you, right? And let me ask you, do you favor your children over children you've never met? Of course you do. Why? They're your seed. They're your children. Some stranger's kids come in the house and go to the refrigerator. You're going to say, what are you doing? Who are you? What are you doing in my refrigerator? But your kids come in, I don't care how old they are. No matter how old they get, they still feel they have free license to everything in the refrigerator. Amen. All the soft drinks, all the little lebbies in the cabinet, all the cookies and candy in the dishes, And everything that's inside your Jelly Belly machine that you have upstairs is now their free property, no matter how old they get. Because they're your seed, right? They're your kids. And you think God doesn't give favor to His children? We're the ones with the rights to the covenant. We're the ones that have access to the promises of God. And God says, I've given you this word, and if you'll stand on it, no devil in hell can reverse you out of the blessing. Amen. We are the blessed of God. And God's bringing a reversal in these end times to take everything the wicked possess. Amen. Accept the curse and bring it over to the hands of the righteous. Bring it over to the hands of His people. Go to Psalm 6. Hallelujah. Psalm 126, are you there? Are you there now? Dum, 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 dum. Verse 1. When the Lord turned again, what year is this for us? Year of the turn. It's the pivotal year, right? This is a year of turning for us. I believe restoration, reversal, and turning all work together. He says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, to Zion, Zion represents the church of the living God. We're part of Zion. When the Lord turned again the captivity of us, we were like them that dream. Did you ever have a good dream you didn't wake up from? I mean, you're having a great dream and it's like you're getting to the good part of the dream and all of a sudden the alarm goes off or your wife starts snoring or something like that and you wake up out of it. Or she starts punching you because she thinks you're snoring and you're not. I've had dreams I thought, if I can just get back to sleep quick enough, I can pick back up with this dream, right? I mean, it's one like where you're flying and you're flying soaring, you know. I've had ones where I could swim underwater and didn't need any scuba gear. And it's like, wow, and crystal clear water, awesome dreams. Dreams where I'm just picking up money. I'm finding some treasure trove of money. I'm just pulling money out of the ground, right? Has anybody ever had the money picking up dream? Amen. And it's such an awesome dream. You want to live it. And then you get in the Word of God and you see that God's given you exceeding great and precious promises that you can do amazing things. So you start talking about how you're going to heal the sick. You're going to cast out devils. You're going to open blind eyes. You'll raise the dead. God's going to bring money to your hands. And you know what your friends and family say? You're dreaming. You're dreaming. Wake up! They ever told you that one? Wake up! Hey, hey, wake up! You're dreaming. But God said He's bringing a reversal, a turning, that we will be like those that dream. We'll be living a dream. And you know what? In the time of the reversal, those that thought you were dreaming will be in a nightmare. Because all of a sudden, when reversal takes place, those that were standing on the word get blessed, and those that weren't get spoiled. And I want to be on the dreaming with God side. Amen. I want to be on the side that I have to pinch myself to say, is this life really real? So many times I do this. So many times I've had pinched myself and said, am I really married to this beautiful woman? And had this awesome church and everything going so well for me. Is this real? Try it right now. Ow. I'm living part of my dream now. I mean, if I go back 20 years, you go back 20 years, and we talked about what we were going to do someday, that we would travel to the nations, we would see miracles take place, we'd pray for all these people, and we see multitudes healed, multitudes of miracles, and then our religious friends and family said, you're dreaming. You're dreaming. Wake up. You're going to see the power of God move in your life. You're going to see revival take place. Yes. And it sounded like a pipe dream. even to us sometimes. And to maintain connection with that dream, we had to go back to the prophetic word and see what the word said to stay connected. Just like I still do. Because my dreams are so big, I've still got to stay connected to the blueprint for those dreams. I'm hitting some sidetracks here. But imagine for a minute that somebody gave you blueprints to a 50,000 square foot mansion. Fully furnished, everything paid, and they said, we're going to supply all the money to build it. How many would take the house? Now, I don't need 50,000 square feet, but I'd find something to put in it. Motorcycles in one room, sports cars in another room, you know. Woodworking equipment here, metal shop over here, welding shop over here. In fact, it could be like 3,000 square foot of house and 47,000 square foot of garage with lifts and pits. I'd be a happy person. Amen. I'd put something in it. Patty said a bowling alley in a movie theater. Well, I threw in a movie theater. And somebody gave you these plans and says, here's the house we want to build for you. In fact, make any alterations you want. So Patty's going in and she's putting in the movie theater and, you know, her crafts room or whatever she wants. Indoor swimming pool. She's going to have, I guarantee it, with a diving board, you know, the whole thing. And somebody says, I'm going to pay for the whole thing. You make the alterations you want. I'm telling you, that would be like a dream come true. But as the process begins to say, clear the land, put in the footers, you would have to keep going back and look at the blueprints to remind yourself how awesome this place is. Amen? You'd have to go back and look at the contract where the guy wrote out, it says, I'll pay for everything. You'd have to highlight it. He said he'd pay for all of it. And you'd be living a dream. And in the same fashion, God's declared we're going to live a dream. We'll be like those that dream. He's talking about you'll live your dream. But you have to keep going back to the blueprint, which are the prophetic scriptures of the end time that say what we're going to have, to keep it fresh in your mind. Keep your faith connected to it. Otherwise, you'll start listening to the ones that say you're dreaming. You really believe you're sowing and God's going to bring 100-fold to your life? Yes. You really believe that you can keep sowing and sowing and you can't outgive God and it's going to come back to you pressed down, shaking and running over? Shimming, giving your bosoms? Yes. Amen. Do you really believe? Here's one that 25 years ago seemed ridiculous to us. Do you really believe you'll never have to be sick again? A day of your life. That no sickness, plague, or calamity can even try to stick to you or come near your household. Yes. And we have to keep going back to the blueprint for the dream to stay connected to it. But God's raising up a dreaming people. But these dreams are real. Have you ever had situations where you had dreams that seemed so real when you woke up, you had trouble remembering if that was real or it was a dream? Has that ever happened to you? It has happened to me several times. Did that really happen? And your life, I believe if you'll stay connected to the promise, it's going to be so blessed, you'll have to determine, am I really awake or asleep? Is this really happening to me? Amen? And we'll be like those that dream. It says, then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, I guess they weren't dreaming after all. Is that what it says? Pretty much that's what it says. The Lord has done great things for them. Who are the them? those that at one time seemed to be dreaming. Those that at one time grabbed a hold of the prophetic word and said, I'm not letting it go because God can't lie. He said it. That will believe that God really is able to bring forth a worldwide reversal, an inversion of wealth and an inversion of power. That He can bring down the mountain of the kingdom of God and put down every other mind-molding mountain in the world and raise up His people to be those of great influence. Do we really believe that? Will we be those that will connect to the prophetic word and let it become our dream? Or are we willing just to try to survive life through natural ability and settle for just trying to survive our Christian walk versus overcome in it? When God says, I've got a people that dream. The good news is, what we dreamed 25 years ago, we're walking in now. And beyond. And beyond. Amen. Beneath in some areas, beyond in others. I really thought I'd have a church of at least 10,000 people by now. Right? So beneath in some areas, but beyond in what we're manifesting as a church from 25 years ago. But to step into a future dream, you got to first establish a blueprint in your heart and in your mouth of what you expect to take place. Because you'll not step into what you're not proclaiming today. So you need to start speaking out and describing your dream for the future. What is it you expect to manifest in your life? What are you speaking forth? Are you speaking forth, nothing ever goes right for me? Are you speaking forth, I never seem to have enough? I'm never, you know, I'm always in debt and I'm always in lack and I'm always sick and tired of being sick and tired? Or are you saying the Word of God says God's bringing a reversal and I'm rich and live in abundance? Even when you're living paycheck to paycheck, what are you speaking? Because you step into the dream tomorrow, what you're speaking forth today. By His stripes, I was healed. It doesn't matter what the doctors say. It doesn't matter what the medical reports say. The Word of God says this, and I will step into my dream. And this is when you step into your dream, when you step into your dream, then the heathen that are round about shall say, surely the Lord hath blessed them. Where are the thems? They'll be talking about. Right now they're mocking. Right now they're trying to limit you. Right now they're trying to make you be like them. There's God's raising up a people that won't change, will hold to their confession. He's going to raise up to be His examples in the future. And somebody's got to be anointed in the end times. Somebody's got to manifest the glory. It might as well be us. Verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Dream big. He said, great things. Dream big. God intends to bring a major reversal. And it will make you glad. Oh, hallelujah. The blessing of God, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. Right? It will make you glad. They that sow in... Oh, let me back up. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Turn again the captivity. There's a reversal. In other words, here God's speaking to a people that it looks like it's not going well for them, but God says He's going to turn the captivity. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, or singing. Shall reap in singing. Pastor Phillips shared with us a message he did last Sunday. He shared with us last week at the pastor's meeting. And he started talking about how easy this is. How easy is it to serve God? How easy is it to go into the anointing? Amen? And here's the example he gave. He says, how hard is it to open your Bible? Everybody try. You got your Bible? Try to open it. Was that hard? It's easy. Is your Bible so heavy you can't lift it? No, it's not so heavy you can't lift it. Opening the Bible and reading is easy. How hard is it to read? I felt no stress or strain over that whatsoever. How hard is it to pray? How hard is it? You don't have trouble speaking. Everybody say, "Hey, Pastor Jack, we love you." Was that hard? Speaking is not hard. Prayer is speaking to God. Prayer is easy. How about praying in the Holy Ghost? Is that hard? It's easy. How about going to church? Oh, that's where it's hard. Go to church and sit for a couple hours. That's hard. And hear the most anointed man of God, you know, in the whole city. How can that be hard? Watch God move, experience the refreshing power of God. How hard is going to church? Well, I just don't feel like going today. Well, see, you're making it hard. You made it hard because you made it a choice. Amen. And something got elevated above going and hearing the Word of God. But going to church is not hard. How hard is it to write a tithe check? Let me grab this pencil. $100. It's not hard to write a check. Is it? In fact, in everything you do to prepare yourself to develop in the kingdom of God, I want somebody to tell me what part of it's hard. None of it. You know what's hard? Living under the curse. You know what's hard? Is being sick and being broke. You know what's hard? Having to work 65-hour weeks to get enough money, you know, to pay all the bills because you're sick and you're broke and you got to pay the doctor bills. That's hard. And you know what makes Christianity hard? Genuine Christianity, you know what makes it hard? Is listening to the wrong voices. Listening to the voice of the devil, the voice of the flesh, the voice of a soul that's not renewed yet to the value of investing time in the kingdom of God, and a voice that keeps saying, "You've got better things you could do with your time." That's what makes it hard. But the things of spiritual development are not hard. It's easy. It's easy to serve God. It's easy to seek God. Amen. We've even found out it's easy to stay up all night and pray. Because God will strengthen you. He'll anoint you for things that aren't easy for you to do naturally. And He'll make the whole thing easy for you if you'll allow Him. You know what makes it hard? Fear. That God won't show up. Fear that your tithe or seed won't produce. Fear that your confession won't manifest. So what makes it hard is unbelief. But God said, if you'll believe, this thing is easy. Because Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." The point I want to make is, God's got some easy things for us to do to position ourselves to be like those that dream. We make it hard. Amen. Through the struggle we have of trying to prioritize things in our life. It's not hard to read. It's not hard to pray. Not hard to pray in tongues. Not hard to write a tithe check. Not hard to come to church. They're all easy things. What makes it difficult is your unrenewed mind wanting to do other things, and then you're in a soulish battle regarding what you'll do with your time. But if you'll just make a decision, I will seek God. Like David said early in the morning, I'm going to seek God. It becomes easy. Just like all night prayer, once I start praying, it's done. Once I'm here, the battle's over. The battle's in getting here. The battle Friday night about 10 o'clock. Where your soul says, oh, you don't need to go tonight. You need your beauty sleep. You could do better things with your time, you know, and you fight this battle to get here. Then it can become hard. But once you get here, you've already invested yourself in the night. And from that point on, it's easy. And you become so glad you made it. What makes spiritual development a battle is the battle within our mind of what we'd rather do for entertainment purposes versus what we invest our time in for spiritual development purposes. Did you follow that? But those will make the investment now. God is bringing a reversal to. He's bringing an inversion to. And you will be like those that dream. Verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There may be a time you're having to cry about all the investment. You may have to cry regarding all the people persecuting you or the devil picking on you. But there's a harvest coming of every spiritual investment you make. And then it says in verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. How many know seed is more than money? Seed is whatsoever you sow, right? It's your time. It's your blessing to other people. It's your money. It's your prayer efforts. It's all seed. And God says it's precious seed. You want to know how to transform seed into precious seed? Sow something that's valuable to you. Whether goods, finances, services, or time. Well, how can I turn time into precious seed? Now, some of you may want to plug your ears for what I'm about to say because you may not like the answer. You want to know how to turn time into precious seed? Turn off that ball game you couldn't wait to see and go pray. And don't tape it. Or the movie. Skip that activity you wanted to do and spend the day in prayer. And watch God consider that precious seed. I remember when God called me to intercession. I mean, I hadn't been saved very long. And He called me to prayer. I mean, hours and hours of prayer. And I remember one Saturday, Patty went somewhere, I'm sure shopping. We hadn't been married very long, hadn't been saved very long. And God had told me to pray all day that Saturday. Now, I started early in the morning, and it was in the middle of football season. And at the time, I was a football fan. God said, don't watch it today. And I spent a white-knuckling day praying that day. In the middle of the day, oh, I shouldn't say in the middle, probably just after noon, I heard a and a crash. And I ran out my door, and the woman that lives across the street from me, one house over, had one of those Audis that would accelerate on its own. She started back her driveway, went into full acceleration. She burned tires all the way down the driveway backwards, hit the car behind her in the street, panicked, threw it in drive, burnt both tires, positive traction, both tires all the way up her driveway. To keep her in her drive, she veered over and hit the chimney on the house next to her. And I pulled the daughter out of the car, another guy pulled the mother out of the car. The mother died in the ambulance right in front of the house that day. God called me to pray all day. Now, I don't know how it tied in to pray all day. I don't know if it saved the life of the daughter. I don't know what's going on. But God had me prayed up when it happened. Said you when it happened, I was the first person on the scene. The point being is, praying is not hard. It's hard when there's something else your soul would rather be doing, or your flesh would rather be doing. And you can train your soul and your flesh to shut up and to sow precious seed. You want to know how else to make seed precious? Time precious? Get up in the middle of the night. Get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning. Say, God, I'm going to invest during the night time seeking you. And watch God call that precious seed. And of course, precious seed can be that last $100 you have. I don't know how many times my wife and I have sown our last $100. More times than I can count. I don't know how many times we've emptied the account. How much we got? This much. We'll just give it all. Well, that's got to be precious to God. How much jewelry and tools have we sown? Patty's sown some of her best jewelry. Stuff that I gave to her in times of, you know, great lack, and I'd take it and go buy her some bracelet or ring or something, and next thing I know it was gone, she sewed it. That's precious. And of the best tools I've ever sewn, I've sewn most of them. God will say, I need you to get some seed in the ground. Sow that. I'm going, God, I use that. God says, I'm sorry, I didn't realize you used that thing. And sow it. But everything I've sown, every tool I've sown has come back to me that I can remember. And all of it free of charge. Plus much more. I've got a garage full of tools that people just said, hey, you want this? Yeah. I've been wanting one of those. Here we go. He that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless means in full faith, shall by faith come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves as harvest with him. Part of the reversal, part of the turning of our captivity, is God says, I'll bring everything you've sown back into your life. In abundance. Because the man that carries seed out sows one seed. Amen. Or handful of seed. And that handful of seed produces sheaves, bundles of harvest. I really do believe I cannot outgive God. I really do believe He intends to bring a financial overthrow in the end times. And I really do expect to position myself to be right in the middle of it. How about you? Pastor Rebecca mentioned J.C. Penney at the during the offering. And she mentioned that he determined to sow 90% of what he brought in and live off of 10. And he did it, trusting in the principles of the kingdom of God. And it worked for him. And it'll work for you as well. Born again, Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost revivalist with the revelation that you have. We will be like those that dream. Jeremiah 33. I tell you, before you go there, go to Job, before I forget this. Job, I believe, chapter 41, right before Psalms. Job chapter 42. Let's start at verse number 10. How many know Job had ended up in some tough times? Lost everything. His family, his wealth, and his health. But it says in verse 10, Job 42:10, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Does anybody want God to turn your captivity? We covered a spiritual principle a few weeks back called hundredfold intercession. And here it says that when Job turned and prayed for the very ones that were attacking him, remember Job's accusers? When he turned and he prayed for them, God says, "Okay, I'm bringing you a harvest off of that." And God turned his captivity, which means he reversed the curse in Job's life. And God brought Job out of that time twice as much as he had before. Praise God. Now we see a spiritual principle involved in this, that if you want to see a reversal, move into the place of praying for others. Those that you want to see blessed, and pray for those that maybe have come against you. But bring all before God and enter to a place of sowing seed of blessing towards the people in prayer. So here we see a step in reversal. Now, Jeremiah 33. And let's go to verse number 10. "Thus saith the Lord, again this shall be heard in this place, which you say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man, without inhabitant, without beast. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness." In other words, he says it's been desolate, but you're going to hear the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. Now, who's the bride? We are. We're the bride of Christ. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. God's bringing a reversal where we're going to know His voice like never before. But not only is His voice going to be heard, but our voice is going to be heard. Right now, they may not want to hear what you have to say, but there's coming a time they're going to be listening. Because they're going to say, "Surely the Lord has blessed them." I love being the them. I've been the them all my life. Geeks are always part of the them. Right? You're part of them. You're the ones that study. You're the ones that make. You're the ones that break the curve. So it's no big transition for me to be a them now. We're just changing subject matters that the accusations are coming through. Hallelujah. Then I became a them when I became an engineer. One of them engineers. Everywhere, you know, you're working, everybody in the factory, that's one of them engineers. Amen. Anybody ever heard the them engineer accusation? Yeah. So I'm accustomed to being a them. I'll take being part of God's them over popularity with the world any day. The voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, "Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth forever." And of them that bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. "For I will cause to return," there's a return again, "I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts," again in this place, say here, "which is desolate without man and without beast, and in the cities thereof shall be a habitation of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. And he goes on. Here we see God says, I'm going to cause to return captivity. What's that mean? Those that have been in captivity will be free. And those that have been free will experience some level of captivity. Well, I've not been in captivity. Oh, yeah, you have to some level. You've been in captivity to symptoms of sickness. You've been in captivity to doctor bills. My goodness, Patty and I, she went and had an appointment for a checkup, and they said, we want to check on something. We want to send you to have an ultrasound done or something like that. And we went and everything's fine. But they said it'll be $150 for this visit over at UK Hospital. It's just going to have the test done and come out. So I write a check for $150. We get home and bills keep coming. There's another $250 for this check, this lab test, the doctor payment. And by the time we were done, it was pushing $1,000 for a little visit to have a check done because they thought maybe something was there. Amen. You're in captivity to that some level. Especially if you're in captivity financially. Because you're in captivity to the rent payment or the mortgage payment. You're in captivity to the interest costs, to the credit card bills. You're in captivity to some level to the utility companies. This cell phone bill, because they demand to be paid or they start taking things back. And the only way there's not some level of captivity tied to it is if you have so much money that it doesn't impact you. But if you're like most people, you're juggling these bills trying to figure out which one to pay next, which money to carry over till next week, bill to carry over, which one can you let slide a week. And there's a captivity tied to that. But did you know the wealthy aren't having that battle? The wealthy aren't going, my goodness, look at all the minutes we use this month on the phone bill. My goodness, there's a call the company now. There's a $2.75 charge on this bill. I don't even know what it's for. Call them and find out what this is. They're not doing that. They're not worried about that extra $2.75. They're not worried about the price on the gas pumps. Versus we have to use the Kroger card and the Shell card and the Speedway card and the Pilot card and everything else to try to get 3 cents a gallon off. Well, some do. I don't mess with it. Do you follow me? That's a captivity. I refuse to be in captivity to those cards. Amen. I mean, some people, I'm not picking up. You, never mind. I don't want to go there. 35 of those little bit cards for each store they go to get, you know, need a wagon to pull them around, even the miniature ones. And so there's a captivity tied to that, that the wealthy aren't in captivity to, the healed aren't in captivity to. I'm not in captivity to any kind of drugs or need for drugs. And God said, I'm going to turn the captivity. They're the ones going to be worried about the 3 cents a gallon off, per, you know, of gas. I mean, gas is $3 a gallon. You're getting 3 cents off. You just saved 1%. You had to scan 47 cars to get that. That's the pumps that aggravate me. I don't get aggravated, but that's when I'm trying to get somewhere and you go trying to scan your card and they say, is this bank card? Is this that bank card? Do you have this rewards card? Do you have that reward card? And you go through 47 questions just trying to get a gallon of gas or a fill-up. You follow me? And then when you're all done, you want to go and it says, do you want a car wash? No, I'd have went to the car wash if I wanted a car wash. Just let me hang this pump up and go. God's intending to turn our captivity in these end times. And we'll be the ones that are doing the dreaming. And those that have not been dreaming will wake up in that nightmare of lack, curse, of needing to ask you permission of what they can and can't do. Amen. Proverbs. Verse 22, a good man. Are you a good person? Leaving an inheritance to his children's children. Now, some of us may have a problem with that right now. Because some of you may owe more than you possess. Or it may be such a hassle, should you go on to sell everything you have by the time every bill is paid and the auctioneers are paid and funeral expenses are paid, you know, they're left with 47 cents. That the inheritance isn't worth the hassle. And God said, a good man leaving an inheritance. Amen. You know what? If you're worth a few million dollars, I don't care how ornery you may have been in life, grandchildren are calling you blessed grandpa. Amen. I'm not saying to be wealthy is you can get away with anything, but I'm telling you what, nobody's going to cross your path if you're worth a lot of money. I heard the story, was it last few days? I think it was on the radio, that there was a man that couldn't hear. And he went to the doctor, had some treatments done, and he went back to the doctor, and the doctor says, congratulations, your hearing's virtually back to normal. You got virtually normal hearing. He said, what does all your family think of this now that you can hear? He said, I haven't told them. He said, why haven't you told him? He says, I just sit around and listen. I've changed my will 5 times. Amen. And it's like the time Woody Woodson was running the museum for T.L. Osborne. Remember that story? You know who Woody is, right? Woody, when he was in college, was taking care of a Christian museum for T.L. Osborne, his museum, where it had artifacts from around the world of miracles he'd done and everything else. T.L. Osborne's done more recorded miracles than any man on the planet in history. We have record of. He's got a whole set of volumes of miracles he's seen take place. And Woody was taking care of this museum section, and he comes in, and there's T.L. Osborne and some other guys, French guys, standing in a section, and one of the guys is sitting in T.L. Osborne's car on display. Some little high-dollar sports car somebody giving him or something. And he doesn't know who T.L. Osborne is. So he comes up to him and says, guys, you can't be in that car. This is T.L. Osborne's car, you know, it's on display, his museum, you got to get out of here. And T.L. turns to the guys around him and says in French, this idiot doesn't know who I am. And Woody said back in perfect French, this idiot speaks French. Well, they got a big kick out of that. T.L. showed him his pad. He goes, show him his picture on the wall. So this is me. He said in his own car. I don't know how that fits into the message tonight anyway, but a good man leaves an inheritance. And God wants to make us good people. Amen. So if for another reason you want to be a good man to fulfill this word, to leave something behind for those that are your heirs. But then he says how the inheritance is going to take place in the end times. For the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just, for the righteous, for the people of God, for the remnant bride, for the them that are dreaming. I invite you to start to dream in alignment with the Word, what you want God to do in your life, and start speaking it. God says you have not because you ask not, right? And you're not going to ask appropriately without having visited the blueprint of what God said you could possess. Be willing to go in and start, talk among your family, with your wife, with your husband, and say, here's what the Word says. What are we dreaming of? What do you want God to do in your life? Because I'm always confessing my future at a higher level. Amen. Because I know if I'll dream now and speak it now by faith, even though other people will say you're dreaming, before it's done, I'll step into the dream and they'll say, surely God has blessed you. Almost 31 now when I became a Christian, I had friends tell me I was crazy. Family on my side and my wife's side all tried to talk us out of it. My dad was so disappointed. I mean, he said, you could gamble with the best, you could chase skirts, you could drink, you could do whatever, you could do it. Now look at you, you're a do-gooder. That was my family encouragement. I don't know what you had. That was my encouragement. And now, that same father a few weeks ago said, you are so lucky. 30 years later, all he could do is say, you are so lucky. I said, I'm blessed. He says, you're lucky. Everything's going well for you. I mean, you're doing good. You're healthy. You're obviously, you know, prosperous to a level. You believe in heaven. Everything's going great for you. And yet, he's the one that's had power. I'm going to work right alongside Bill Clinton for 10 years. He's had money, influence, everything the world could offer. Yet he says to me, after 30 years, you are so lucky. When 30 years ago, he thought I was crazy. But you've got to be like those that dream. You've got to spell forth a change, a life beyond where you're at now. And God said, you can have it. You'll find it in the Word and you'll confess it. Did you get anything out of this tonight? I want my life to be summed up in the song, Dream On. Dream on. Dream on. I told you I have fun in church. I don't know the rules, so nobody correct me. Amen. I'm going to have to act in a certain fashion I won't enjoy if somebody tells me how pastors really act. Father, bless your people. Raise up your dreams within them, your heart within them, and cause them to be willing to make the changes, the shifts, to do that which is easy to advance spiritually in your kingdom. We thank you for this. We give you praise in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Hug some necks. Share the love of God. Be a blessing.